No, you're very welcome along. It is Terrace Talk this evening. Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock. A beautiful evening out in the kingdom. We're in a lovely air-conditioned studio. I hope wherever you are sitting out, maybe having a barbecue in the car, heading home from work, wherever you are listening this evening, I do hope you're keeping well and able to enjoy the fine weather. We've got an action-packed show once again this evening. Kerry defeating Armagh, of course, on Saturday in Fitzgerald Stadium, 418 to 17 points, a 13 point win for the Kingdom, which sets them on their way to Croke Park for the All-Ireland quarter final, of course, against Tyrone next Saturday evening at 6:15. We've got plenty of texts already coming in about the time and streaming and everything else, and there'll be plenty of talking points over the next hour or so with Liam Broston, John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan. Of course, the Garvey Superdue County Senior Hurling Championship is underway at the weekend as well. We'll be chatting to James and Richard on the opening three games of this year's competition. I will also be chatting to the lads from Kearns O'Rahilly's, whose book is ready. We spoke to them last year, some 550 pages I believe in the book for Kearns O'Rahilly's, documenting their history over the years as well, and that one about to be launched this week as well. As ever, you can get in touch with the programme. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. You can call 066 712 3666, or you can email at terracetalk@radiokerry.ie if you are listening from further afield. But first this evening, I just want to take a minute to remember Tadhg Callan Carter. He was tragically killed while spectating on stage 12 of the Donegal International Rally on Saturday. Listeners will know my voice from motorsport coverage here on Radio Kerry. I do love the sport. It is amazing, but when it raises its ugly head, it can be very, very cruel. And look, while keeping Tadhg in our thoughts tonight, I also want to think about the driver and co-driver involved in the accident as well. A hugely tough couple of days coming up for them boys as well, to come with the funeral and everything this week as well. I just want to keep them in our thoughts this evening on Terrace Talk and what was a tragic weekend for the sport we all love, I think. And elsewhere then, from the sporting sector this weekend, John James Casey, he was competing at the Special Olympics Ireland Summer Games this weekend. He won a bronze medal in his 100 metre run and a silver medal in his softball throw. So well done to John James Casey. And there's a homecoming this evening in Carstaveen. What an evening they have for it at 7:15, and all are welcome. If you're in around that area of South Kerry, go out and support John James Casey, a bronze and a silver medal coming home from the Special Olympics Ireland Games at the weekend. But we'll kick off with football this evening. As I said, the Kingdom into the quarterfinal of the All-Ireland Championship. 4-18 to 17 point win over Armagh. As I said, John Kennedy and Liam Broston are in a studio with me here, along with Andrew Moynihan, our in-house analyst for these Kerry games. Lads, you're very welcome. Liam, I was going to listen back to our predictions from last week, but I said we wouldn't embarrass ourselves. We said a very narrow victory for Kerry. We all settled on that, but what a win it was for the Kingdom.
We'll take that all day, Ivan, to be fair. But no, I was thinking after the game, isn't it so refreshing? If you were a neutral supporter, just watching the way Kerry play football, no, the kick passing, the speed of toss, it's lovely to watch. And look, I suppose, look, coming into the game, we were all a bit nervy. We knew Armagh, what they could bring to town. But I suppose listening to David Clifford's interview after, I don't know where it was, but he said if you were given the option to play Armagh in Croke Park or Killarney, he said it was a no-brainer, Killarney. No, so they were happy because it was home, and I think that was a big thing, getting Armagh at home. But look, I suppose after the first 30 seconds when McIlroy went through and, you know, kicked that wide, we said, here we go now, they're really going to come at us. A bit of a nervy start. They went up 4-1, but then, you know, Paul Gainey kicked our first point, got things back. But look, that little bit of brilliance again, and like I said, Kerry football, that pass by Dylan into David, first from Graham to Dylan, and then Dylan to David, you know, and hitting the back of the net. It was something. It was just magical, and I think that's what the Kerry supporters, you could meet them after coming away, they were delighted with the way we played. And I know we've a lot of talking points. Dylan came along and then kicked the point in the 22nd minute, and not only that, then after 30 seconds later, hit a 2-pointer. You know, so it was a thing of beauty, to be honest, to watch Kerry to play in. And look, we'll all talk about that goal then. And I suppose there's big defining moments, and I think that was a defining moment in the game, because that really hurt Armagh going in the dressing rooms. And look, you know how we feel about goalkeepers coming out the field. It shouldn't be happening, because there is no benefit whatsoever bringing a goalkeeper out the field now with the way the rules are. And I think you're actually kind of, you know, you're telling your defenders you're not a great footballer if you're bringing the goalkeeper out and telling them stay back.
Yeah.
So I can't understand it. Look, and they paid the price for it.
Yeah, badly cut out. My eyes are drawn to Lionel Messi taking a penalty at the World Cup. What's saved? Or is it he put it straight wide, Andrew? I'm not sure you're back turned as well. There you go. Things you don't think you'll see at a World Cup, and Austria goalkeeper saving a penalty from Messi. Oh no! He hit the post and wide. The goalkeeper celebrated as if he'd made a huge save.
He'll claim it anyway.
John, thankfully, Kerry scored 4 goals. Argentina haven't scored one yet after 8 minutes. But as Liam said, it was those first kind of maybe the first 10 or 12 minutes were small but edgy, 4-1 behind. But Kerry really kind of got to grips with the game after that. But it took a while to settle into it.
Yeah, the first 12-15 minutes, Ivan, Armagh brought the game, and you know they had a few wides. They were 4-1 up. And then, like Liam said, the goal, Paul's first point, the goal then by David. You know, we thought the chance was gone, you know, but his experience and his ability. But, you know, when you look at it, we said last week we were expecting a tough game. You know, how would Armagh react, you know, to the defeat coming down to Killarney? But, you know, we look at Kerry, and a fantastic performance by the entire team, you'd have to say. You know, and it starts inside with Shane Murphy. He was outstanding. Mm-hmm. On the day when we won comfortably, he made 3 or 4 brilliant saves. And particularly the last one we spoke about, Liam and myself, Saturday evening. It was a reflex save from Oisín Connolly. It was brilliant, really. And that's his forte, really. He's a superb shot stopper. Jason Foley at full-back, he's excelling. He was absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I thought Graham Sullivan at wing-back had his best game since he came back from the injury. Our two midfielders were so fortunate. Yeah. You know, Jack said in one of the interviews, was it by default or how was it because of the injuries? But Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien have turned out to be colossal in the middle of the field for us.
Yeah.
We've David inside, 1-10. We take it for granted. But I think Dylan Gainey's performance, he's on the upper curve.
He's really stepping up.
He's
to the
really
base,
stepping up. Yeah. And that's not taking anybody of the other lads away. But these guys stood up, and the experience they have in tight situations, they're winners. They've been there. And a fantastic win for Jack and the management team. Beating, especially after the last game against Donegal, you were going back to Killarney. And the first 12 or 15 minutes, people in the stand near us were saying, you know, Jesus, we're going down the same road here, are we? But then we took over. There was only one team in it. Fantastic performance. And what an atmosphere in Fitzgerald Stadium. It was absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Brendan Fuller had the crowd rightly riled up beforehand as well. Listen to the lads' previews here in the studio. All you could hear was Brendan Fuller in the background. It definitely added to the evening, I think. Andrew, I suppose, look, we're talking about how good Kerry were, and that's it's fantastic to be able to come in here on a Monday evening and talk about how great were Kerry. How poor were Armagh, though, in retrospect? To Kerry does not let them play. Were Armagh good, but Kerry were very, very good? What way do you see it?
Yeah, I'd probably be more leaning on the side. I think this was a case of Kerry being excellent than Armagh being poor. We know Armagh are a great team, and maybe, like, obviously, we have to look back. How mentally draining was that loss to Louth last weekend? Mm. Not even 90 seconds, not even a minute. They were 5 seconds away from a quarter final following weekend. Only Sam Murray's shot went into the back of the net.
How drawn away to Kerry.
Yeah. And then you get Kerry the next morning. That had to play a huge factor. Coming down the night before, long travel. I don't think they helped themselves with their approach to try to come back in the second half. They persisted with that slow build-up play and trying to run at Kerry. And I think Kerry have improved so much in that department, in teams running at them. Probably something that we struggle in. And I think that Brook comes back to, I think, credit to the full back line. Limited, Oisín Conaghy, he got 4 points, but relatively quiet. Jason Duffy, 2 points, and Conor Turbitt got 2 points. I mentioned to Paul Murphy too, not easy for Paul Murphy to come straight back in, but a man with such experience the last day, he played a great 60 minutes. Jason Foley and Dylan Casey, it was a great performance, and that worked its way up the field. Jason even tagged on a point. He got the turnover for Paul Gainey's goal just before half time. Jason Foley was he was brilliant at the weekend. And look, obviously they had 14 missed opportunities, they had 8 wides, 3 saved. Shane Murphy made some fantastic saves, a few shots short. Maybe they're not the team they were from a couple of years ago. They're down a couple of lads like Reen O'Neill, Soupy Campbell, I think, like he was there on the sideline the last day. I'm wondering, would he be saying to himself, could he still do a job there? Because we know a couple of years ago what he did to us. And even last year, I think Stephen Campbell could still maybe play a role, but that's another conversation. Niall Grimley out with injury, or Ben Creedy, excuse me, out with injury. And Niall Grimley stepped away for the year. So a couple of lads like that that they were missing. So maybe not the team they were, but this was probably a case of Kerry just playing absolutely spellbinding football.
Yeah, and on that, Liam, like with Armagh, I mean, as Andrew said there, you know, you're looking at it and you're saying it was, you know, demoralising, really lost the way they went down to Louth, had literally 1.5 feet into an All-Ireland quarter-final. Then you get drawn away to Kerry, giving them 6 days, getting down the distance, everything else. It was always going to be an uphill battle for them, wasn't it?
It was, and I suppose, look, they seem to be putting themselves into them positions, Ivan, with the way they play. You know, they had a good lead against Armagh, and instead of pushing on like Kerry would do, they kind of go into this kind of possession-based game, slow upon this kind of over and back the field. You're only drawing teams on you then. No, and especially with the rules the way they are now, if a team goes at you, and if you mentally, and if you're playing that type of a game, it's very hard to climb back out of it. And I think that's what happened against us the weekend. No, they came down, tried to slow the game down, over and back the field, and then every time we broke, we hit them with sucker punches, and they had no answer to it. No, but and I think, like, we'll go back to that goal. Like I said, there's always a pivotal point, and I think that goal mentally again going in at half time. You know, it was a killer. But like I said, you know, why is a goalkeeper coming out the field? That shouldn't be happening. You know, Kerry don't do it. Our goalkeeper doesn't come out the field. Our goalkeeper has been fantastic. We're not about goalkeeper. Our kickouts within, I think, between 6 to 7 seconds, the ball, since they're the Kildare game, myself and John were above it as well. You know, it's 6 to 7 seconds and the ball's on the tee. Yeah. And not only that, then, like, you have Joe O'Connor, you have Dermot, and you have our two boys in the middle of the field. Colossal, you know, and we're picking up the breaks. That's you know, that's something that is huge. And I suppose, look, we're going into Croke Park now, a pitch that we love in down here in Kerry, and every Kerry footballer wants to play. So it's going to be, and look, Tyrone is a big ask now as well, but I think at the form that we're going into it, and with the players after getting a lot of game time under their belt now, we could see Joe O'Connor, how he has improved in the last number of games, has been dramatic. Great to see Paul Murphy back. He's a Rolls Royce of a cornerback. No, he's a guy, when you want to get a quick one off, he makes that run. He's I'd say, as a goalkeeper, it's fantastic to have him outside you, because he will show for it, he will look for it, and he will give you that option. And then with Dylan Casey and Jason Foley and even Mike Breen holding in the middle, no, I think everything is kind of slotting into place at the moment. We won't get overly carried away. We still have a big job to do this weekend, but at the way the Kerry boys are playing, they seem to be organising it in the field themselves. No, you can see it, and that comes down from experience. There's great experience there.
Yeah, 100%. Look, we mentioned the goal a couple of times, John, so we'll finish on this, and we know we're not the biggest fans of the goalkeepers coming out, but at the end of the day, it was still Kerry's job to get the ball turned over. Graham O'Sullivan, a lovely little tough flick into the hand of Jason Foley, long ball then down the pitch, and just even the way to be able to take it from that distance out, knowing the ball had enough speed in it to get into the goal when the keeper's running back, it was beautiful to see. It was so well taken, even without the goalkeeper there. It was the way Kerry kind of built up from when they turned over possession to actually scoring the goal was brilliant.
It was brilliant, Ivan, and I think if we go back, Charlie O'Burns, who said a great year for Armagh, he was in control. He gave a pass to the feet of McElroy, the midfielder. Kerry were on him, but the flick from Graham O'Sullivan to Jason, that was class. Inside in the cauldron, what a lovely touch. Jason looked up.
And his awareness.
Yeah. He looked up and he saw what was on. Yeah. And, like, this is typically Kerry football, 50-yard pass. And Paul Gainey, another guy would have taken it on a few yards, there was no missing. He's done that in Killarney how many times inside in training, has it a shot into the... But that was a defining moment in the game. I think Kerry would have won anyway. But, you know, 3 points going in at half-time, you could see the Armagh heads were down. The Kerry supporters went berserk. You couldn't hear the hooter at half-time with him. And, you know, the whole place erupted. And a 6-point lead was a great cushion. And when we came out, we kicked a few scores. Game over.
Within 18 seconds, Dylan had the ball over
Dylan
the bar
had the
again.
Ball over so the game over, then.
It was kind of a score, too, that I think typified the game in terms of Armagh were... Obviously, you kind of hold on for the hooter, but the Armagh kind of persisted with that slow build-up play. Kerry got that turnover. One quick ball up the field from Jason Foley. Obviously, it got lucky with the punch down from the Armagh defender, but just the way Kerry can move the ball up the field, it pays dividends, and it was a brilliant goal from
And you'd wonder, because the first 15 minutes, the way Armagh were running at us, they were causing us trouble. All of a sudden, they started over and back the field. Now, sometimes we've given out to Kerry about that in National League matches.
Yeah.
No, but it just shows like that this over and back in Pandas football now just doesn't work at this level.
We started going direct ourselves, though, Liam, didn't we? And that kind of changed up a small bit. We seemed to be a small bit defensive at the start in Clarny. You know, Ambrose was saying on the radio, it was kind of not the way to start a game in Clarny and the home, you know, a knockout game at home, that you want to be on the front foot. And we kind of let our man maybe start the game the way they did as well, and then we kind of started going direct, and all of a sudden Armagh couldn't deal with us.
They couldn't, and I suppose, look, you would always be trying to find your feet in the first maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but when we did find our feet, the ball movement was excellent. You know, the kick passing, you know, and when you have the likes of David inside, it's colossal. You know, the power, the pace, even that, besides the goals and the pints that he's kicked, just the pint that he got, that he punched over the bar, the power and the pace that man has, and the one that he kicked wide, that he nearly, if the umpire had his head there, I'd say we'd be looking for him as well today. Yeah. You know, so it's just that when you have the likes of David and Paul and Dylan inside in the full forward line, get the ball in there any way at all, get the ball into him.
And I think it's crucial. We spoke here after the Donegal, the league final, and Liam spoke about the game in
Ballyshannon
itself. 4 big men across the middle Donegal had. We have that now. I mean, Joe and Dearman, the two wings or two midfielders. So when Rafferty looked up, the way we squeezed up on the kick out, he's one of the best kickers in the game. But he had no option, and he had to go along, and we swallowed everything up then.
Yeah.
Our work rate was unbelievable, but I think our setup was excellent. We had 4 across the middle, and we had a man in behind covering off as a sweeper, and you know, it had to be spot on to win it, and it wasn't by him. And the longer it went on, then every player, even a player of his experience, he started to make mistakes. And they were punished.
We could see it above in Kildare, the way Kerry were kind of looking to play. You know, Kildare was a tight field, but the kick pass.
Yeah.
It started up there. You could see they wanted to kick pass the ball the whole time. And then when you get into the likes of Killarney and Croke Park, you'll be hoping that you will make hay there.
Yeah. John, you mentioned work rate there, and it definitely is one of the talking points after the game. But for me, it was that work rate was there for the 70 minutes. And that's important, that even when the game was done and dusted, it was gone. I know Mackay Cup scores towards the end, but Kerry kept going for the full 70. There was no kind of letting up. There was no taking the foot off the gas. This is over. They kept going.
They kept going, and we have to give credit to the management team here, because, you know, it's about having your team right. We see what happened to Donegal and Armagh. It's about timing. We seem to be getting everything right. The injuries are coming right, but the level of fitness and the intensity we're bringing to it. And not alone for the guys that are starting, but like Andrew mentioned him, Paul Murphy. Paul Murphy came in. He got 15 minutes above in Newbridge. He played cornerback the last year. Outstanding. With little game time. We know he's the experience. But experience is one thing, but you have to go out and do it. And he just, any gap that appeared, Paul went off, took on the defence, laid it off, scores came from it. And then when you look at the bench and you see the guys that are there to come on, the Gavin Whites, the Shawnee Shays, we'll never forget the way the stand exploded when Shawnee came out for the warm-up. Yeah. That's what it's about. So if you're on the field with a jersey and you're looking over your shoulder at Shawnee Shea or Gavin White or these fellas, you know, Keith Evans, you're going to go right to the very end. And that's the way we are. There's huge competition for places, and there's still a few more to come.
Yeah, no, most definitely there is. We have to take a break. We'll be back with plenty more on Kerry against Armagh and Kerry against Tyrone. 083 300 3300 is our text or WhatsApp, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
Now you're very welcome back to the programme. It's Ivan Hurley here on Terrace Talk. We're here till 8 o'clock this evening. We're in the midst of our chat on Kerry against Armagh. We come to all your texts and everything else, and the quarterfinal draw and the other goings from the weekend as well. Andrew, I suppose we were chatting off air there a small bit, and one stand up as well, and Kerry do love to score goals, but four goals that were all class for their own reasons. We've talked about the Rafferty mistake, obviously, for one of them. David Clifford's one was a sort of a, it looked like the chance was gone that he had squandered, still somehow managed to score. Joe O'Connor was All-Ireland final-esque, and Keith Evans dinked the keeper, which what I was full sure was a mint sort of a finish. Four class goals, to be fair.
Fantastic, weren't they? And I'd say Derry last year in the league, was we got five goals, I think, that day. I don't remember the last time we've actually got four goals in a game. 32 points we got against Armagh last year, and 30 at the weekend when we got the goals. As you said, four class. I think David's one gets underestimated because he did the dummy bounce. Rafferty did well. He got a hand in, but like how David did, superb to get that, just get a touch on it into the far right as well and finished in there. The second was obviously, we've spoken on Rafferty and Paul Ganey's goal before half time. I still wouldn't underestimate that being an easy shot.
No, definitely not.
With the pressure of Killarney as well as that. And I think I said it during the break there, Joe O'Connor's goal, very similar to his All-Ireland final goal. That's very much situated. I think that's his third championship goal, Munster semi-final versus Cork last year, the All-Ireland final goal against Donegal, and at the weekend. Three big goals, and three goals that finished the game. So he's always coming up with big goals. Big Joe gets the big goals, and and then Keith Evans, he definitely meant it. That was a superb finish right at the end, to be fair to him. And I think with Keith Evans, a fella now who's unlucky not to be in that starting 15, that we have such good players back in the forward line, but a player who's grown so much in confidence as well, that he has played so much for Kerry throughout the league and championship, persistence, and he can come onto the field and have great confidence that he can tag on a point, tag on an assist, want to kick out again. He's very high up in the kick-out stats. He's getting onto the breaks, and that just shows that, like, when you're building a depth like that, Kerry would be a very hard team to stop.
Yeah, the lads joked at the end of the game, John, that goals win matches, and I caught the point scoring fairly close. But all just aside, it goes to show how still, even with all the new rules and everything else, how important goals are in this game.
Yeah, they're huge, Ivan. You know, we've spoken about 10-point leads and 8-point leads, but the goal is a great boost. And not alone for the scoreboard, but for the support. You know, the reaction they got from the goals. But these were top quality, to be fair. Mm-hmm. The build-up to them, but the finish. And Andrew said there about Keith Evans. You know, if there's an example for any young fellow out there, to be patient, to wait for your chance. Last year he was... Was he on the 26 for any of the championship games? No. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But he stayed going. And it takes time. We've said it here several times, to adjust from club football up to league and then championship. But he's an integral part of the squad now. The pace he has and the finish. And like Andrew, I'd agree with him. That was no fluke. He went for it. He saw the keeper off the line. What a finish. Yeah. Brilliant.
Really good finish. Yeah, it wasn't even hardly dinked. It was nearly still shot, but it just seemed to dip over Rafferty into the top corner. Was the best Kerry performance of the year so far, Liam?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, without a doubt. All you could say from 1 to 15 and the guys that came on as well. No, it was you'd be in pains trying to pick who man the match was, and I think everyone after the match was kind of saying that, who obviously when you kick 110,
no, Clifford just normalised it,
he's often kicked 110 and not got man the match. Yeah. No, so it's not, but it was just all over the field. No, they were just outstanding, and even getting back to the goals there. Now Paul Ganey's goal, what I liked about it was he put it into the back of the net, and it was a case of get into the dressing rooms.
He went straight down, yeah.
Straight down into the dressing rooms. David kind of gave him a high five straight. You know, we have a job to do. Yeah. And the same with Keith Evans. He got his goal, which he did mean. You could see it. Mm-hmm. And there was no massive celebration or nothing. He wanted to prove his point when he was on the field. And like we've spoken all through the league, and even Jack and different interviews, you know, what would Kerry have to change this year, you know, to win back-to-backs? And the main point that always came up was make the squad stronger. You know, that their A versus B games have to be very competitive. And you could see that now. And we've said it down through the league that we're building something. Now, the things are going to get competitive in there. And like with the couple of lads, we've still three or four all-stars to come back into this. Where are we going to put them? you know, that's the frightening thing about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's some headache to have, but like it's fantastic. And everyone that's getting a jersey, they want to hold on to it. And when guys are introduced, they're doing the business. You know, so it's a great headache for the Kerry management team, and it's fantastic for the Kerry supporters.
Yeah, another one being touted for man of the match, Andrew, was Dylan Gainey. I know you have a good stat there. You're itching to get out on Dylan as well, but another man who's kind of really proved himself once again this year, I suppose, and kind of, I think Paul Burns was kind of in and around that kind of starting position, and obviously the 2-game suspension, and Dylan Gainey has really nailed down his position in that full forward line now.
I think it was Paul Dollery tweeted that he wins the man of the match if not for David Clifford Award at the weekend. 5 points, a 2-pointer, assisted both goals. The second one in particular, obviously the first one was grotesque, as one of my friends said, but the second one, the kind of the dummy of taking the shot and then giving it into Joe with the hand pass was spectacular. Superb season, yeah. And as you said, yeah, he's taken 11 shots so far this season, has scored all 11, 13 points. That's 2 2-pointers inside there too, so it's not like he's taking the easy shot. So 100% accuracy so far, so the pressure's not on. And he's such a positive player. I think he's always looking forward, even after the goal. I think he got onto the ball very soon after that, and he was looking immediately into the full forward line, and in particular for David's goal, he could have easily just popped that over the bar, but it shows a sign of a fella who's, he knows he has that jersey locked down nearly at this stage, that he's grown into himself so much that he can give a ball into David, get that assist, and it was a superb ball. It's one of his greatest attributes, and a fantastic performance from him again at the weekend, and I think he's on the, he's definitely a nailed on starter at this stage.
Yeah,
and a fellow we haven't mentioned at all yet, really, and he had a great game as well, as Paddy. Paddy played a world of ball. You know, he won the freeze, he put the ball down, put the ball over the bar. You know, it was a kind of a job, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's good to see Paddy starting to get back into his groove now again.
Seemed to have that bit, touch more of a fitness about him, I think, from the injury as well.
Yeah.
Compared to what we've seen the Paddy of the last couple of weeks. Finally, John, I'm going to have to say David Clifford, we haven't spoken about him yet, which again just goes to show we're 32 minutes in and we haven't really given him any time. But again, like, I've used it a couple of times this year, but normalising brilliance is definitely at one of them to describe it. Like 110, and we should be beating the drum about him when the show opened, but it just makes it look so normal, it's so natural. Probably had a small bit of a quieter game maybe against Kildare, if you want to even call it that from his standards, but 110 against Armagh and Clarny, it's great shooting.
Incredible, Ivan, to be fair. You know, he's going to break all the records. He's one of a kind. We've been very lucky in Kerry, if you look at back the last number of years, number of decades, actually, the quality players we have, the exceptional players we've had, but David is top of the pile. He makes it look so easy, but I think he orchestrates everything out there. When off the ball, he's encouraging guys, he's making space for them, but when you need him most, I think, you know, he will finish for you. And you know, I was out from coming out the last day after the game, and there was Armagh supporters. The one disappointing thing they had was that the kids weren't allowed onto the pitch in Fistula Stadium to meet David Clifford. Now, I know if they went on, he mightn't be home yet because of the crowds.
Yeah.
But we are very fortunate in the GA now, not alone Kerry, to have a quality player and, you know, a pin-up boy like David Clifford. And I think that it's disappointing. I'm not sure what the reason is, but Fistula Stadium is a no-go after matches. We look at the hurling at the weekend in Turles. We look at all the games yesterday, apart from Croke Park. Field as young lads go in there after, boys and girls, parents with them. That's what it's about. They're the next generation. We should keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a hassle for players and they want to get off the field, but look, we're so fortunate, and I think people around the country, the admiration that the Armagh supporters have for David Clifford is incredible. It's incredible.
Box office. Really.
His box office.
Yeah.
There's no question or doubt about it. They have their own, the O'Neills and all those themselves, but David Clifford is number one. And, you know, even in defeat, they had an admiration for him and they were raving about his display. And that says it all, I think.
And when he's on the field as well, he coaches.
He does.
No, he's directing. He's, you know, you could see the hands. No, everyone is kind of looking at him to see what do we do. But I see Sylvester Hennessy had a tweet up. All time Kerry score, top scorer now, is it for 48 goals, 471 points. You know, he's after passing out Mikey Sheehy. But to be fair, Mikey Sheehy, one of my favourite players of all time as well. When John says we're on about blessed footballers, Mike, he's played a lot less games probably, yeah. You know, with the amount of games that David's
I'm sure David's only kicking two pointers anyway, sure. I mean, sure.
With the amount of games.
It's way easier.
I suppose Sheehy was only kind of four championship games a year.
Yeah,
so
of
you
course,
can imagine, yeah. Like, Mikey Sheehy's gone 51 goals, 457 points. No, so it just shows the players that we're blessed to have, the Gooch, the Morris Fitzgeralds, and all these type of players. No, it's iconic, really.
Yeah, we have to put an asterisk next to his record, Louis. You can't sweat his head.
Definitely, yeah. He had
another
10 years ago.
There you go. Right, to the text lines. Wild Kerry's victory over Armagh was wonderful. The margin of victory was not expected by everyone, including many pundits. It was clear from a long way out that Kerry would win this game. It was wonderful to see Kerry use the long ball, which yielded rich dividends. Despite all the championship football played by Kerry, they are still only in the quarterfinal with a lot of football played. Hopefully yet to be played. The split season means a lot. A lot of games are played over a short period of time, which is very hard on the players and difficult to keep momentum, as Donegal and Armagh can attest to. Keeping our players injury free and fresh should be a priority. Motivation against Tyrone should not be an issue when one looks at the history between the two counties. Keep the ball out of traffic against Tyrone would be advisable. And that's from Sean De Bruyne in Fieries. It's a very quick championship this year, lads. It feels like we've played more games than we've ever had, I suppose, getting through the kind of the qualification, John, the way we came through those All-Ireland series games. But it is all very quick, and then back out again in Croke Park next weekend. A gap to the quarterfinals might have been welcomed.
Yeah, I think so, Ivan. I suppose speaking to people on the weekend and Saturday before and after the game, you know, going back not so long ago when you won your provincial championship, you know that Munster were playing Ulster or Connacht or Leinster in the semi-final. It was predictable. But no, it's not. Last Monday week, waiting for the draw, you could get anybody. Well, obviously, there was a number of teams that you couldn't get. But, like, it's the uncertainty of it is brilliant.
Yeah.
Even this morning again.
The anticipation.
Yeah. It's absolutely. Then you see Donegal and Armagh gone out. We said here a few weeks ago that our top three teams, in no particular order, were Kerry, Donegal and Armagh. Two of the three are gone.
Yeah.
So, like, it shows. This is what, the new rules are brilliant. But I'd agree with you. I think that little break for players. You know, you get in Neagle. Look, Concallon yesterday picked up some bit of a strain. If he had another week now, and okay, people say it to be, from a Kerry point of view, if he's out injured, no, it is a plus, but I wouldn't look at it that way. I think you want to see your best players playing in every county.
Mm-hmm.
They're brilliant footballers.
Yeah.
And we saw the Dubs yesterday, the old guys, we'll call them, the way they played, the Brian Howards looking, and the Niall Scullies, they were absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And what a buzz was around. Did we think Donegal would be out of the championship? We didn't.
No, we didn't. And even with the likes of our match, just the way the draw goes, I suppose.
Do you miss them?
Not really.
Well done.
Well done to Jack and the players on a fantastic performance against Armagh. It would be great if we could get to Croke Park next Saturday and support this wonderful team. The Kerry roar from the stands might be needed to get the boys over the line against Tyrone. That's from Katrina, listening in Tralee. Thanks William, for that one, Katrina. Ivan Tidings in SD gets in touch. There's more than one man living in SD. John Kennedy, well done, Kerry. Outstanding. They can take beating now. Kerry for Sam. Jimmy's winning matches. That's from Ivan Tidings. And a couple of more to come to as well. Congratulate Grod White, who was named Under 20 Footballer of the Year today. Some talent, and what a great achievement. His first year at Under 20. Huge achievement,
fantastic.
Liam.
Fantastic player, yeah. Yeah. So a fella that we'll be watching in the next couple of years to see how he progresses. But he has all the tools and the kit anyway to make a Kerry a very good Kerry senior.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Credit where credit is due. The PA speaker system was great on Saturday compared to the last match. Hopefully lesson learned for next year. We take some credit for that. I think we spoke well about that on last Monday night. We'll take some bit of credit on that one. Will there be extra availability on trains for Saturday? That one, we don't know. We were chatting about it beforehand. You'd imagine they will put on a special train. You'd hope they would. For it's just so late. The game, 6:15 on a Saturday. It's a special train wouldn't be leaving Dublin to what, nearly 10 o'clock, given potential for extra time.
Because you have Cork and you have Kerry.
You two.
So you'd be hoping that there was.
you'd have two lots going, yeah, because even there's no train at all that'll get you home at the moment. Even the 9 o'clock to Mallow, as we used to call it, if we missed the 7 o'clock to Tralee, we used to go on the 9 o'clock to Mallow. But yeah, it's a different one, definitely, as well. Was Smoshay right to say it's ours to lose on TV last night? That's from Dennis in Clarny. Andrew, you're smiling. What do you reckon?
It's hard to talk us down at this stage, is it? Like obviously, we're the favourites. The bookies have us as the favourites. I think last year as well, like obviously heading into the final against Donegal, but even before, kind of after the Armagh game, it's kind of similar to last year once again, where we're being totaled as the favourites. And I think it's a team, as David said, that they're building with experience now. They're into a good few years. They're well able to cope with that. What I'm happy with was after Joe's goal, that was kind of that finished the game completely, and that was 45th minute. Dublin yesterday had to play over 90 minutes between normal time and extra time. So Jack and his management will be happy in that case that we got, maybe we were able to run the bench that bit more, get minutes into Shawnee Shea, Gavin White, and obviously you had Armin and Keith Evans and Evan Looney able to come on as well, and Tony. So able to kind of just get lads minutes, and obviously just freshen the legs, and maybe this week on week stuff is the way to do it. That's 2 weeks in a row where we put in some brilliant performances, but obviously big challenge next weekend against Tyrone.
Yeah, keep it motoring. Argentina gone 1-0 up on Austria, and it was Messi who got the goals, who redeemed his very poor penalty miss. You might want to give David Clifford a buzz and see what it's like to be scoring goals. All fantastic performance by all Kerry players yesterday, and a credit to the management for a brilliantly prepared team. Things are shaping up like last year, hopefully. Nothing to fear from Tyrone. David got mad at the match deservedly yesterday, but I thought Mike Breen gave an exhibition of centre-back play. Truly exceptional performance. Up the kingdom and keep up the good work. That's from Brendan. And Mike Breen's one man we did, again, it was sort of an all-round team performance that, you know, everyone I thought was fantastic, even the subs that came on, Liam and everyone in between. But another good game by Mike.
Yeah, and we said that after the Kildare match, John and myself, you know, Mike holds that number six position, and he's ably assisted in with two runners either side of him, with the likes of Breen Begley and Graham, or whether it's Gavin White. You know, so Mike can hold, and I think that's his position. Because to be fair, I wouldn't have Mike down as a racehorse up and down the field. We don't want him up and down the field. No, and I think he's been outstanding. Same with Jason Foley. Like, Jason Foley at fullback has been, and look, we spoke about Jason with the last couple of years. He really is an all-star fullback because he knows when to hold, he knows when to go. He chips in with his pint. No, he's getting fellas into positions. No, so we are very lucky that we have a very good 3 and 6, and we've been saying it for years here. Only Mike was kind of cursed with injuries for a while. Mm-hmm. That if Mike Breen could get, if we could get a fit Mike Breen, he'd fit in there lovely at number 6, and he's doing that in the past couple of years.
A great part of Mike's game is he has a great understanding with David up in the full forward line. He assisted 5 at the weekend, and 3 of those were to David. And we, no one can forget the goal that David got last year against Tyrone, where he rounded Niall Morgan. That came from a hand pass from Mike Breen inside. So definitely one to look out on, but fantastic performance.
Yeah. I suppose, talking about burnout, I'm open to contradiction, but I think Jason Foley has started every game for Kerry. McGrath Cup included.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah,
he's
says another thing. There was a discussion about this at the weekend, is what cover have we for fullback? Which is an interesting one. We have a lot of very good defenders, but Jason Foley is exceptional. And long may it continue, and he's injury free, which is very good. And you know, give an exhibition again at the weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're after giving away one of my questions for the Christmas quiz there now, John. It's too early in the year now to give you away. We've David Clifford's one gone now for the total scores. We've Jason Foley. That's two questions.
You can tell the hurling boys we won already.
We have it over and done with. Last text before we go for a break. Afternoon, gents. The sharpness of our players Saturday was most impressive, with the right decision undertaken every time. Comfortable ball retention, multiple outball options, heads up football with precision passing. Our halfback line in particular never wasted a ball. Their vision and pass execution resulted in scores. Saturday was a declaration of intent. Defensively, we are well set up, very disciplined in the tackle and holding the defensive line. Offensively, when we break with purpose. The players know what to do, but have the smarts and capability to execute. We're coming to form with a very much cohesive panel of players. Finally, a quick word on the Armagh supporters. Really decent and good company. And that's from Tom in North Kerry. Do keep the messages coming in. 083 300 3300 in your text or WhatsApp, or you can call the studio 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry Sport.
Now you're welcome back to the programme. Getting back to some of your messages. Bring on Tyrone up the Kingdom. That comes from one listener. Great to see the lads are back in full flow on Saturday, but can we address the giant elephant in the room here? Game Saturday evening at 6:15 in Croke Park. Very unfair to the travelling supporters. And then third weekend in a row, the game is on GA Plus. A slap in the face for the older generation. A stop has to be put to this next year. Two-barred question. Liam, we'll start with the start. Look, obviously, arranged for Saturday. We were chatting in our group a little earlier on this morning. We were kind of imagining it was going to be the 4 o'clock game Sunday. Then the sort of started getting leaked out that it was going to be the Saturday with the extra day's rest for other teams and stuff that played on Sunday as opposed to Saturday this week. And then a right kick to have it at 6:15 in the evening as well, where most people are now going to be driving up or whatever else, and you won't be home till all hours. I personally think it's a small bit unfair of Kerry. It's so late in the evening, even if it was a Saturday, you know, 5 o'clock, maybe start latest or something like that. It is late.
It is late. All right, yeah. Like I thought, well, we did say, like we were talking today, that probably with the teams that were on the Sunday, and it's only right too that they get that extra day's rest. And I think that should have been made, that should have been agreed before today, you know, that the teams that drew out of the hat for Saturday's matches will play, you know, on the Saturday. So you get your week. But I thought, look, a 6:15 is a bit late, all right, to be fair. But look, I'd rather a 6:15 than to be in Armagh's position. Look, we'll take it. And but I suppose 5 o'clock wouldn't have been out the way. It would give us that extra 2 hours. No, but look,
it will be busy with traffic with Cork heading up as well now the same day.
It will. The only thing about it, I suppose, it'll be quite coming down. No, the it'll only be game late. Traffic on the way down. Yeah. You know, so look, but like I said, we'll take it.
Yeah,
Armagh take it if we're offered them.
Yeah, no, 100%, and that's kind of the point to it. And then obviously the other one is this GA Plus issue, and I think, John, to be fair, we have been very unlucky this year from a Kerry perspective that this is going to be I think it's the third game now on GA Plus for Kerry this year. So disappointing in that regard that we've kind of seemed to have got costs more than others. But look, again, I suppose it's available. Okay, when you get to Croke Park, it's a small bit of a different ball game where you know, you see so many games on the television from RT, just kind of probably got the wrong side of the draw on this one that we're on GA Plus again. But I can see why fans are frustrated, especially with the game being on so late that most people will have to stay at home and hopefully listen to it here on Radio Kerry, but also want to watch it.
Yeah, definitely, Ivan. It's something that's it's cropped up a number of times throughout this season. I suppose there's a number of ways of looking at it. Look at the amount of games that's been played, the condensed season in the GA about hurling and football, you know. And there was a time, heard somebody in Radio Kerry during the week on one of the shows saying that in his time you had the two All-Ireland semi-finals and the final. That was it. Maybe the Munster final might be on. But you know, it has evolved big time. I think in the shift that St. Sinan's Club in North Kerry did during the week, they organised the game to be shown in their clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And they went around and picked up some of the older people to come in.
Lovely idea.
Fantastic idea. Well done. Maybe something like this should be done. Yeah. Because it's the older generation, and I deal with a lot of them in my job week in, week out, and they live and die for Kerry football, and they want to see the games on. Not alone Kerry, for football in general, for sport in general, and they want to see it, whether it's the World Cup, or it's hurling championship, or it's rugby, or whether it's Gaelic football. They want to see the games, and they're not, you know, I know it's easy to say you pay 90-odd plus and you get it for the year, but some of those, they don't have the facility to get it and to put it on. It's not as simple as turning on the television and it's on an RT1 or 2. So we've got the tin into the stick, to be fair.
Yeah.
Weekend, like, you know, 6:15 game, it's something that has to be looked at. There's a lot of talk politically about it, but I think it's the GA's call.
I don't think it's going to happen. This is gradually growing with the last couple of years. Yeah. And I think it's going to come to the stage where it'll be GA Plus for all matches. Because they have, at the end of the day, look, it's coming down to money. That's what it's coming down to. They have a product and people will pay for it, you know. And like John said there, there's so many games in on at once, you know, that it'll be like the soccer have something like it. You'll be able to pay for the Kerry matches. and yeah. watch the Kerry matches. You're a Kerry supporter. No, so I think, I know there's a lot of political kind of bandwagon going around RA, but I think it's going to get worse. I can see it in the next 2 years that all games will be GA+. You might be lucky to get Dáil Éireann and final on RT, but at the way it's looking, and with
it's moving towards that.
Yeah.
Well, my personal thing on it is I personally don't mind paying for to be able to watch it. You know, having the privilege to be able to see the thing. I know it's been free to air for so long or whatever else, but my personal, I don't mind. But then, for me, I think every game should be on it. It's a case of where you're paying for the service, you pay for a yearly thing or whatever, you pay for everyone's match.
Like all or nothing.
Yeah, all or nothing. So that you go up to Kildare a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been shown absolutely nowhere. Which is when this service is there, then it's still not being utilised to the best of its thing. But I 100% get the, you know, people who have volunteered for so many years, it's an amateur organisation. I there's so many different argument points on this, and it keeps coming up and coming around the bend over and over again, Andrew. But it is sort of that kind of, maybe you might be the so-called younger generation, or maybe I'm a small bit got older than that as well, but you're kind of looking and you're kind of saying that we know streaming, we've seen URC do it, LOI TV do it, the, you know, World Rally Championship, I pay for that every year. I watched it week in, week out. So
it's
like
the world we're living in, no,
it's the world we're kind of living in at the moment, and this is going to happen whether we like it or not, I think.
Yeah, I think as Liam said, it's going to get to a stage where it's going to be GA+, and that'll be that. And that is good. And as you said, that's when you need every game. Like League of Ireland TV is a fantastic service, and that has brought on the League of Ireland leaps and bounds.
But you get every game on it.
Everything. And it promotes everything. And I think we've been a bit unlucky this year in that the fact that for the round 1, 2, and 3 games, GA+ have got the first pick for the game, so they're not going to say no to Kerry Donegal.
We declare a game then as well, wasn't it? The Munster Championship.
They're not going to say no to Kerry Armagh at the weekend, and then the fact that we're on the Saturday means that I think GA+ were automatically the Saturday games or something.
Yeah, the two Saturday games.
So,
yeah.
Once again, we're on a Saturday, so it's unfortunate. But then I'd be more angry at the fact that Kerry Kildare wasn't on TV than these games.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
I think we should have and cameras were there; they were ready to go. I know Cork lads. There was a pub in Cork that were paying a fella to FaceTime them for the Donegal game. 3 pints in the bar for the night. I think you deserve a bit more than that to go all the way to Ballybuffet. But I'm sure they were happy with the win.
But I think the other side of it, Ivan, is the people that have paid for it. They're absolutely delighted because you can watch back the games after.
Yeah.
There's such a facility now that there's so many games on. It's brilliant.
But they need to get that right, John, with showing every game on it as well.
I'd agree with Andrew totally. The Kildare game should have been on. If you're having so many games on, you have them all on.
Yeah, and it would alleviate then what happened the weekend with the Cork hurlers, that the game went extra time and then people had to try to get on the player, and then the player was still showing the football, so no one got to see the first 10 minutes on the television
as well. And you probably will see different things like Sinan's did.
Yep.
You know, clubs. And clubs have fantastic facilities now that they could bring their members in. Probably maybe they'll power it into the hospitals and the old folks home for free.
I think they've done that already. I think the GA+ have given the passes to the nursing homes.
There will be things, but I do think that's the road we're going down. We can huff and puff about it, but I think that's what it's looking like.
Yeah, but again, personally, I think if once every game is on it for a set fee, I know involved with the League of Ireland thing, it's €99 for the full year, but you get every single game.
Yeah.
Every single game, Premier Division, Women's, First, all the Kerry games, everything's on it. And then they gave one game free to air every Friday night, and that goes out on Virgin Media, and that's the one game that goes out, but all the other whatever it is 19 games every weekend are on LOI TV, and it's just as simple as that. You just click in and you put it on, you watch it, and you pay for the service. But I get it, but 100%, and people are going to text in saying, oh, the volunteers who've been involved for so many years, 100%, and it's an amateur game. I get all that, and there's so many different arguments to this that one minute you'll be on one side of it and the next minute you'll be on the other. Back to the football, I have to mention Mike Breen. Every game he turns up was fantastic again. The last, that's from Kay. Evening lads, Mikey Sheehy, Colin Cooper, and now Dylan Gainey, class acts, and we might include David Clifford on that one as well. Congratulations to Garrod White as well from us, who was named under 20 footballer of the year. Evening gentlemen, was Tyrone your favourite draw out of the counties this morning, or was another county that you would have loved Kerry to face, such as Louth? That's from Dennis in Kilnamantra. We've got a minute before we head for news. We'll be back after that. On Dennis's question, was,
I think Tyrone's a great one because it focuses you as well. Because with the history in which we know we're going up here, there's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were going up and drawing Louth, I think there'd be a lot more said about it. But I think this is going to be, this will focus the Kerry dressing room now again for the week ahead.
Yeah, a good test. From a Kerry supporter, while Kerry were very good yesterday, we need to remember it was only 3 weeks ago we were flat against Donegal and beaten in every line of the field. Jack's biggest job now is to keep a lid on all of this. Tyrone are a very good side and well capable of doing a Donegal on us. We have gone in against them more than once previously and we're very confident and we got caught. So that's an interesting one there from a Kerry supporter. Hi lads, great show as always. All the talk about Donegal for Sam and yet no plan B again by Jimmy. Is he overrated? Kerry peaky at the right time. All the best from Brendan, who's listening all the way over in Boston, Massachusetts. Was only there a week and a half ago. Brendan, thanks very much for listening from across the water. Hope you're enjoying the World Cup on your shores. Halftime, Argentina 1, Austria 0. We'll head for news at 7 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
We're only laughing there to say that the solar panel, people's solar panels in the county will be delighted this week. Right, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan with you until 8. We're still in the company of John, Liam and Andrew. Just one to get to, an email came in a little earlier on today from Dennis Geeran in Glenmith. I'm going to give this a quick read out. I'm writing to express publicly that I'm totally disillusioned with the manner in which the GAA, not for the first time, is treating Kerry supporters. Firstly, the above match fixed for 6:15 on Saturday the evening in Croke Park. This effectively that most supporters will not have to stay in, that it means that they will have to stay in the capital overnight where accommodation is very expensive, or if some decide to drive they will be doing so very late at night when they are tired. We all know that the road signage on the motorways, it says tiredness kills. It is very frustrating that many thousands of loyal Kerry supporters will be constantly subjected to this type of treatment. If that's not bad enough for those who can't get to Croke Park, we have to view to pay the game on GAA Plus, and of course many can't get coverage in many parts of the county. I could go on, but it seems to me that the county board don't give two hoots about its loyal supporters. There's a definite silence from them when it comes to these types of situations, but they can be heard loud and clear when they're looking for money from the same hard-pressed supporters. I wonder, do other supporters agree with me? Incidentally, I've been following Kerry teams for both football and hurling since 1953, when I was the age of 9. So thanks very much to Dennis in Glenbey for getting in touch. Just on that, Liam, I mean, it is, obviously we know the frustrations of the time when we talk about GAA+. A lot of this is out of the county board's control, though, to be totally honest. And you'd imagine the scheduling and everything from Croke Park, very hard for, I'd imagine, you know, our own people down here to bring up and say what time they'd prefer or anything else. It is sort of comes from HQ all the time. And now we're not on the inside of it, but I presume that there isn't a huge amount to say from our side, unfortunately, on the movements of these fixtures and everything else.
Yeah, look, it's I suppose it's the top brass above in Croke Park that make all them big decisions. The county board wouldn't have a whole pile. Now they could, I suppose they could put in a letter or say something in Congress. But look, I think, look, we've discussed it. I think the way the world has gone now, it's all about the money, Ivan. When you have a product, when you can sell it, and I'd feel sorry for the likes of Dennis. He's one of many volunteers, big supporters. You know, but unfortunately, the GAA is gone. I think John has gone down a different road.
Yep.
You know, and it's gone down, like we were on about club football and stuff like that. And you know, we've said it here for a couple of years. You could be looking at maybe a Kerry team or a county team being, you know, being picked at the start of the year, and you mightn't see your players as a club. You know, that's the way we're gone kind of semi professional, Ivan. That's the way football has gone.
Bar,
in all bar name.
Yeah.
Yeah, in all bar name. And I think, look, the GAA know they have a product and they can make money out of it, and I think that's going to be the big thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, we'll return to a bit of positivity as the sun is, it's too nice outside to be worried about all these things this evening. We'll leave them to people with higher powers than us. John, the draw this morning has given us some fantastic games to look forward to. We'll preview Kerry Tyrone as the last one, so we'll start with our near neighbours Cork. Of course, they'll be buoyed by that win over Donegal, of course, away from home in Ballybuffet to book their place. They had their week off to have a good look, and I think I was reading somewhere that the Cork manager ended up picking the Mayo game to go watch yesterday, so that was a good picking or a good judgment from Cork. Cork-Mayo, it just has the billings of another fantastic encounter, and I'd imagine the amount of people of Kerry who will be going up will get to Croke Park nice and early to watch this one as well.
Yeah, it's a great double bill, Ivan. You know, timing is questionable, we'll leave it, but Cork and Mayo, it has the ingredients to be a really great game. Cork, you know, that victory in Donegal was brilliant. And, you know, they'll be buoyed up from that. You know, they're injury-free. and they'll be a pep in the step. Mayo, on the other hand, coming back from Killarney, listening on the radio the last day, Mayo were dead and gone. And, you know, they turned it around. Some fantastic individual displays. Inda Hessian was outstanding. I think that Kobe MacDonald was superb as well. And, you know, Ryan O'Donoghue, obviously. Jack Carney around the middle of the field. Andy Morton will be fancying his chances quietly, you know, come in for a bit of criticism for some of the displays, but, you know, he's 70 minutes from an All-Ireland semi-final.
Mm.
And that has the ingredients of being a really great game. I think, though, Cork buoyed up from that victory up north. I think they'll win this one.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here first. And he's looking after the neighbours. He must have a few.
And their miners had a big win.
Over Derry. He must have a few bathrooms in Cork, maybe. I don't know. He's looking after the Cork Road. Then on Sunday, Andrew, the opener in headquarters is Louth against Monaghan. We obviously know how Louth got there. It's been talked about over the last 7 days enough of times. Can we talk about Monaghan, though? Because, I mean, we saw Monaghan down here in Killarney in the league in it was desperate bad conditions on the day. Monaghan very, very poor, relegated from Division 1, had a really awful start to the year. Then came true also the way they did. And now after knocking out the Leinster champions and into a quarter final, it's a real resurgence of form from Monaghan.
Another county timing their peak well at Monaghan. Like as you said, when they came down to Killarney, even when the league finished up, Gabriel Bannigan said that he was happy that they weren't in Division 2 because he thinks that was a team worthy of getting relegated to Division 3 even. They had such a poor league campaign, and like obviously like that, you lads returning, and I think the Monaghan Championship is so competitive. Scotstown always putting up a good account of themselves, but what a resurgence, and I don't think anyone could have predicted how Monaghan's season has come to light. And it all kind of kicked off with that Jack McCarron 2-pointer to send the game to extra time against Derry. That was really kind of the kickstart of their championship. And look at the weekend again. I kind of enjoyed how in the last 10-15 minutes did nothing too flashy, but just dispatched Westmeath and got the game done. And Rory Began, like, what a warrior at this stage. 6 points again yesterday, and a fellow who, I think if Began has a good game, Monaghan won't be in within the far shout of winning at the weekend. I'm probably leaning towards Monaghan to get over the line there against Louth, but Louth, the shock of Inniskeen there last week, how that will drive him on once again with Samuel Roy. A player I like for Louth as well is Conor Grimes. What I appreciated there a couple of weeks ago against Dublin, he came off the field, he was nearly crawling off it, and I think that's a great sign. He gives it everything. He mightn't play, he'll only play 50-60 minutes, but what he does is absolutely monumental for Louth. So that's set up for a cracker, and people might call that maybe the undercard or the lower billing. I won't be looking past maybe that game, maybe going a bit further than 70 minutes.
Yeah, and great to see one of those two teams being in an All-Ireland semi-final as well, which is fantastic. I'd imagine Louth would have liked to have played that game on the Monday after Inniskeen. They were so fired up at the end of it, so hopefully the 2 week break for them won't dilute those sorts of celebrations, that jubilant scenes that they'll get out to Croke Park and prove themselves as well. Liam, then the third of the four, I know after skipping Kerry, we'll come back to them. Look, obviously we talk about Dublin Donegal first yesterday. Incredible game of football, really, it really was, and how it all ended and everything else and into the extra time, and now drawn against Galway back in Croke Park next weekend. I suppose the resurgence of Dublin more than anything else, because we were talking about them again league throughout Leinster, nearly beaten by Wicklow in the early stages of Leinster, but have really come back and kind of proven themselves. I know missing, you know, a lot of the players that we're used to seeing with Dublin, but this sort of new breed have seemed to kind of taken on a new life at this stage of the championship.
They have, and I suppose having their manager back on the sideline helps as well. So yeah, I think this is going to be a very entertaining game. Galway seem to be a team that are coming under the radar a small bit. Joyce's interview there, was it 2 weeks ago? It's the first time in 2 years that he has a full squad that he can pick from without injuries. So they will be dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see. I think this will be a good kind of a gauge to see where Galway are against Dublin. I fancy Galway, but like that victory from yesterday for Dublin will give them a huge You know, it because there's a lot of new guys there, like the McMurrow and Dorn and all these guys. No, but I think it was the old elder statesmen that got him over the line yesterday. You know, the Scullies, the Kieran Kinneys, Conor Callaghan, Brian Howard. You know, they're really kind of leaders around the middle of the field, and I think that's where you need leaders at times like that. And look, Donegal's were up to their same tricks again yesterday, and they kind of backfired on them. But to be fair to Donegal, or to be fair to Dublin, they went at them. They played attacking football. And look, they got their rewards, but I suppose the draw, they probably wouldn't have wanted. Well, I suppose it was either Kerry or Galway, you know. So I suppose if I was a Dublin fella at the way Kerry are going, I would have picked Galway as well. But you know, so it'll be an interesting one. But I'd fancy Galway to get over the line. That
I did enjoy how Ger Brennan and Jim McGuinness just watched the handbags play out from a far off distance.
They
stood well clear of it. Can we talk about the decision, John? And I'd again, just watch it, because there was uproar on social media at the time that first of all, it shouldn't have been a free to Donegal in the first place, and the referee brought it up without even second guessing it as the hooter was going off, and just gave Micheál Murphy that 2-point chance. It ended in that sort of that fireness to say Dublin weren't too impressed, and then Micheál Murphy got stuck in again, and then there was that big, you know, scrap before half time. It kind of mad. It was a really good game of football up to that, but admirable how Donegal were able to get back into the game when Dublin looked like they were, especially when they got the goal. I think it was 67 minutes, looked like that was going to be it, but you know that Donegal kind of never say die, and they had that right through the extra time as well, but came up just short on this occasion.
Yeah, just short. And I think the kick out, you know, there was a lot of tension in the air, 2 points in at Dublin. I think O'Coffey Burton had it and he lost it, and it was on the ground, a bit of a, you know, bodies, a lot of bodies there, very harsh, you know, looking at it last night in the Sunday game, slowing it down and rewinding it. As per rule, the referee was probably right, but it's something, I think, one of the rules that needs to be looked at, you know, is it intentional, is it not? And you know, but it was brought up, but what a super score by Murphy, and what he did after probably cost Donegal, to be fair. Mm-hmm. You know, not alone his own black card, but McGee, I think he was a bigger loss, because he was colossal around the middle.
Big loss, yeah.
And he was a huge loss. And but at the end of the day, look, I think Dublin probably deserved it. They were that few points better than them, and some superb individual performances. And we spoke about it, you know, some of the unsung heroes for Dublin, some of the unknown, particularly young Guyton coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kicking scores as if he was doing it for the last number of years, you know, coming in a cauldron in a game, he had to do it. And great win for Dublin, and a lot of the debate this week will be about Conor Callaghan. Is the hamstring dodgy? Is it precaution, or is that a twinge?
Wait and see. Only time will tell. Lads, time is ticking. So Kerry, Tyrone, Andrew, how do we see this one going? Where can Kerry exploit the weaknesses maybe in Tyrone? How do we see this one playing?
Yeah, like Armagh's weaknesses could be Tyrone's gain. Like, we talk about Armagh in the midfield, they were a bit decimated. Tyrone, you look at, you've Kennedy and you've Kilpatrick in the midfield. Two big men. But only just last year, it was Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien in the middle of the field, and they did a colossal job that day. And I think that can happen again. What I'd worry about Tyrone is their scorers, obviously, but Darren McCurry, will he start? He was their top scorer off the bench versus Mayo. When he came on, he made a brilliant job. He got 6 points, but Derek Hanavan, he didn't start. Will he start here? Rory Canavan wasn't on the bench either. Are they lacking just that bit of firepower? Matty Donnelly playing as well last, I don't think he scored against Mayo, so I think that's where Kerry can gain at that. And on paper we should win, but Kerry Tyrone so much more than that. But I think, it's as Liam said, it's a game where we can't lose focus, but I think where we won't lose our focus even, but I think Kerry should be winning here by 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, Kerry Tyrone always has that sort of rivalry feel about it, Liam, doesn't it? It was for so long, for so many years, was the sort of Red Hand was you know, a distraction for the kingdom. So it's definitely one that on paper is always a big enough rivalry. I'm sure that will be taken into consideration going into this one as well.
Yeah, it has been tasty, but to be fair, I suppose down through the last couple of years it has watered down a bit, alright, because Tyrone are probably, no, lost a lot of big players, but kind of rebuilding, and you know, they've won a lot of underage competition. So you'd be hoping that, you know, or you'd be thinking that, you know, they should be putting their hand up now in the next couple of years. But like this Eaton Jordan as well, I think he kicked kicked 7 points against the Rossies, the new guy that's after coming into play. You know, so yeah, they're look. like I said earlier, it's one that'll whet the appetite. I think it'll focus the Kerry dressing rooms, and I think Kerry will go up. I think all guns blazing above in Croke Park, a pitch that we love, and I think when a Kerry team, it's like our under 20s when we got up there. You know, it's a pitch made for football, especially with these rules, and at the way we're playing at the moment, touch wood, bar injuries and stuff like that, I think this could be. I'd give it more than a 4 or 5 point win. I think if we can be beating Armagh and these by the distance that we're beating them, I think we're well capable of putting Tyrone to the sword as well.
Yeah, it's great to be back in Croke Park at the end of the year as well, at this stage of the season. John, finally, I suppose the news this morning, Mark O'Connor, unfortunately, for a Kerry perspective, fortunately for him and his AFL career, is staying in Geelong, a new contract this morning. I suppose it was a lot talked about, I suppose, especially coming back from Dingle, and you know, the thought he was coming back to Kerry to play his club football and potentially trying to get into that Kerry midfield as well, maybe more so next year than this year. But the new contract done and dusty, staying in Australia, it's a huge chance for him, obviously, and his life is probably made now with this new contract as well. So always great to see a Kerry person doing well abroad, but unfortunately from a Kerry footballing perspective, it's a negative.
Yeah, it is a negative, Ivan. And listening to people last week, there was rumours coming out and rumblings that he might return home, that he mightn't sign that contract. But look, he got a lucrative contract, and more luck to him. He's a fantastic footballer, and whatever court he plays, he's class. He had a huge influence in Dingle's going to the All-Ireland and winning it, and he would be a huge boost to Jack O'Connor and the management team coming in. It's not to be at the moment, and all we can do is wish him well. Huge loss. And when you think of the Ben Murphys and the Mark O'Connors and these guys that are away, you know, this is huge talent. So difficult to blame them. A professional game, and education on the side if they need it. You know they have everything at their feet, and you know, we wish him well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, well said, John, and best of luck to him. It's a great sport to watch as well, and see, you know, a Kerry person do well in any sport, no matter what it is, outside on the international stage. It's brilliant, lads. Thanks very much. Enjoy the game Saturday evening, enjoy all the football that we have to look forward to next weekend, and we'll be back here next Monday evening as well from 6. But thanks for popping in this evening. It's Argentina 1 Austria 0, second half underway, 56 minutes gone there in that World Cup clash. Again, the games kick off at all different times. We'd won at 5 o'clock yesterday, 6 o'clock today. They don't know, we're creatures of habit. Right, we'll take a break and we'll be back with the Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
No, you're very welcome back to the programme. And we move on to hurling in just a second. But a nice message in here from Niall. And it's Kevin, involved with Listowel Pitch and Puck Club for over 40 years, holding every possible position on the committee, as well as maintaining the course, carrying out every sort of job possible to keep it in pristine condition. He claimed the 1993 Munster Straw Play Championship in Waterford, played in the European Championships while working in London in the 1990s, and was chairman of the Kerry Pitch and Putt Board, as well as the Kerry Juvenile Officer in the past. Kevin will be sorely missed by all in the pitch and putt circles over the country, and in particular in Kerry. And that's from Niall, Kevin's brother Niall. So sorry to hear that, Niall, and hope the family are keeping okay. Sad news for someone who gives so much time to a sport over 40 years, even in one club in Listowel. So sorry to hear that news this evening on Terrace Talk. Plenty of your texts we haven't got around to yet. Hopefully get a chance to get to some more by the end of the programme. Plenty there on everything from the weekend and GA Plus and everything else. But it's time to head to the hurling, and of course the Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship underway since Friday night. 3 games played in these group stage format, of course, for the championship once again this year. I'd like to be joined as ever by our hurling gurus, James McCarthy and of course Richard O'Ferran. James, I'll start with you and we'll go back to Friday night first. At half time, I was up in Dublin and I was listening to the reports, and Parnell's leading Abbey Dorney, I thought, is there a big shock on here? But my God, Abbey Dorney really kind of showed their teeth maybe in that second half, and that they weren't there to be messed with.
No, it was just experience versus youth. fair play to Parnell to give you their head. And you know, they played very well first half, but second half, Abidori just poured on Ivan. They put score after score, and their big men came to fore. You see Michael Leary, Jack Sheehan, lads like that, they really tore into it, and they really got the scores. Slats, Oisin Mansell, they were good. Like, and when you know yourself, when you have that quality there, Ivan, you're not going to keep them down for too long. They are going to come into the game at some stage, but maybe Parnell didn't convert as much as they could in the first half. Gives himself a bit more of a lead, but a beautiful evening for Hurling. And in fairness, I was kind of happy enough with Parnell. Maybe, do you know, second half, it was just everybody overpowered him. Really did overpower him, and that was really the difference in the teams, size-wise and experience-wise. That's what it was. But the good thing to take from it is Parnell started with lads that won minor championship last year. They had some of those lads on the team, and that's great to see.
Yeah, no, it is fantastic to see, as you say. Dermot Cork made some big saves as well for Parnell's. Could have been a different sort of scoreline. It wasn't for him in between the sticks. He's still as important as ever to that Kerry setup and prove it once again with the club, James.
He had a great game, in fairness to him. And Corky's been around for a few years himself, and kind of a hand. It's a toss of kind inside in Kerry, which one of them is number one for the Kerry job, like Kerry's spotlight. But, you know, he adds so much to that team, and they have a great goal in reserve as well. They have young Keane Harris, so they're actually a lot of good players in that position at the minute in Parnell's. They have, like, between Kirkie and Keane Harris is brilliant for Kerry on the 20s this year. Like, so they really have two talented goalies there, but Dermot really showed his worth at the weekend. And you know, there were some vital saves, and he kept Parnell's in the game when it really could have been a dangerous scoreline. Ivan, you don't want that. You didn't want to go to your first game and be on the reverse of a really bad scoreline like Kilmaile were.
Yeah, we'll come to that shortly. I was easing into it for you, James, to be fair.
Yeah, there's no
reason
to that.
I was easing into it for a little later in the conversation. Restard, I suppose it's from an Abidori point of view. Look, obviously, maybe a small bit disappointed with their first half display. They'd have to be happy with the second half going into next week, and again, their title defence. But probably good to kind of blow off the cobwebs after the first 30 minutes and really kind of prove themselves in the second half that they'll be another force in this year's championship.
Absolutely, Abidoni are a very strong side, and fair play to Parnell. They hurled well in the first half. Put it up to them, you know. They have some fine hurlers, especially like Ewan Kerns there, and Owen Costa is fantastic as well. But I suppose the experience of Abidoni that told in the second half, and they pushed on. And as James mentioned there, Michael O'Leary, Jack Sheehan, you know, they've so much experience, but. Panels will learn from this, and they'll move on. Do you know what I mean? So it's a learning experience, especially as James said there, for a lot of very young Parnell guys, Parnell players. So I think it's, you know, Abidoni again, their experience and their power in the second half, they really put the foot down, and you know, that's what we've come to expect the last few years from Abidoni.
Yeah, and should we have to mention Andrew Morrissey, Restard? He got a point for Parnells as well, our Kerry's full breakfast man, and great to see him on the score sheet.
Absolutely, and I suppose he had the full breakfast. I suppose that gave him a bit of power. So, he was. It was great to see him scoring. But Andrew has been a great servant for Parnells, and there's another man, the manager there, Gerard Doherty. He's been a fantastic servant as well for Parnells. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Look, but, you know, the thing is with Parnells, we need to move on. Now, I know the problem with Parnells, obviously, is there's lads playing other sports as well. That's a big issue they have inside there. But, you know, they have nice hurlers, and hopefully they can keep it together now and push on from this.
Yeah, and great underage restart there as well. We've seen them go off to Fayle and everything else, and players up along, and obviously won the minor in recent years as well. So, you know, it's great to see Parnells, and I suppose my involvement in Crows over the years was sort of a case of where it just kind of it came, unfortunately, stuttering towards the end. But for Parnells, it looks like they're going to be a side that will be staying in that senior championship, and they'll have plenty of players to feed up through that underage structure over the coming years as well.
Yeah, but you see, it's going to have underage teams, and you know, other teams, other clubs will have underage success. They'll move on to senior success. The issue, of course, with Parnells is that there are other sports as well. Lads are brought into football panels and soccer panels and things like that. You know what I mean? And especially football. Obviously, you know, these lads, the guys who are really good hurlers, are good footballers as well. And you know, they will go towards the football, and that's natural. So it would be great if we could direct lads towards the hurling, but that is the challenge inside and truly with the amount of lads who are so good at both sports and obviously will drift towards the football.
Yeah, no, 100%. But hopefully that draw against Causeway last year will be the stepping stone the Paranans need to stay at that level. James, the first in of the doubleheader, a fantastic draw between Lichna and St. Brendan's. It was sort of nearly at the end. It was like neither team wanted to miss it with a couple of wides and chances and everything else. But this championship is always so close, and fine margins, you know, could end up costing one of these sides in the end, how the tables work and everything else. And the points and the swinging of the system in this format of the championship, I suppose, if you want to call it that. But a very entertaining game nonetheless.
It was an excellent game, Ivan. Very, very good game. And it was quality as well. It wasn't just like there was two contrasting styles in a way. Our first running game in the first half really caused Lichna trouble. But Lichna in the second half got really tore into the game, I thought, in the second half. They brought on Conor O'Keefe and they turned it. They won the middle toward in the second half. I just think the ferocious in the tackle and a bit more dogged and persistent. They really got a top of St. Brendan's in. But as you said, Lichna had two or three chances to win it, and St. Brendan's had a couple of chances to win it. They had two frees late on. They were probably bad angles, but they weren't extremely hard for a free taker of the quality of Fanon. Maybe he kind of looked back and said, jeez, I could have tipped those. But then again, look, that's the way the game went. It was nip and tuck all through, but what an excellent game. And in fact, these two teams will, Ivan, you wouldn't be saying that this could be a county final, maybe this could be a county semi-final. These two teams will have high hopes this year.
Yeah, exactly. I remember chatting to a few lads involved as well, saying it is a game of fine margins restarted, and that's why we love this the County Hurling Championship, that it can throw up kind of surprises and I wouldn't say shock results, but there's, you know, teams are so close to each other in this championship that it's very hard to kind of pick your winner, nail your colours to the mast so early. And again, we only took the first weekend to get a high scoring draw.
Yeah, absolutely. And I must mention as well, I spoke to a number of people going in for the first game yesterday. You know, there were very few programmes there. They ran out of programmes. So it's just a note that maybe in future we need to plan ahead a bit more and make sure we have enough programmes. As some people were not happy going in yesterday, and they asked me to raise this evening. But St. Brendan started so well. And, you know, and when Lee Moog, you know, stuck the ball over there, saying Lee Moog was going to have a massive, massive bearing on this game. But I thought, then in the second half, I thought Ivan Conway was absolutely brilliant, but Mr. Shane Conway again. He got one ball there at one stage, and there was an effort wall in front of him. So he just went sideways, hopped the slither off the ground, and just over the latch. And then he got a goal. Came in from the side against a very good St. Brendan's defence and racked it. Like, he is absolutely an outstanding hurler, like, you know, and like, it's important that we get him back into not in the green, just the green and gold of Lichna, but the green and gold of Kerry, because he is an absolutely fantastic player, and some of his play yesterday was absolutely brilliant. You know what I mean? You'd have to admire it, because it was a case of come at the man, come at the hour in the second half. But I don't think anybody deserved to, neither team deserved to lose that game yesterday. I think that, you know, yes, after the chances to win it, so had Lichna. And look, I think a draw was a fair result.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, two teams, depending how the rest of this kind of championship goes on, it could be there right at the end of it as well. Lads, we have to go for a quick break. And we'll be back we give James a couple of minutes to gather his thoughts before we talk about Kilmoy's defeat to Causeway. We'll go for a break here on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in the midst of our chat with Richard and James on the County Senior Hurling Championship, of course, sponsored by Garvey Super Value, that kicked off the weekend. Right, James, I've given you a couple of minutes now to cool down. What happened to you against Causeway?
Geez, Ivan, you know, I could go nuts here, but I won't. Time to reflect and mellow for the whole weekend. But it has to be said, that was the worst performance in 30 years, like my team. And no shadow of a doubt. Everything that Kilmaile are, and I didn't see we built for ourselves over this all, as long as I've been playing, none of it was shown at the weekend. And fellas, with this point from that, by put that to bed. Now you have to look at it on the other hand. Since Croke Park, this team has been in a bit of a decline, because we have a number of players that have given us so much and owe us nothing. They've given us great days. The fellas in that team won their first championship with me, and that'll tell you how long ago it is. James Godley was 38, and he was our best player. I think now what we need to do is bottle a bit of James Godley and give it to every fellow on that team and say, lads, take that for the next match. Or else, if you don't want to, sit in the stand and stay at home. Because when the 38-year-old man is the best player in our team, it says something. But look, thank God, we have another game to the right things. Maybe, hopefully, can put things right and put the real Kilmarnie back on the map. And all you can do is when you hit rock bottom, Ivan, there's only one way to go, and that's up.
The week off next week, is that important for Kilmarnie to be able to kind of gather their thoughts, go in and see what Ballyhiger are doing next weekend as well? Or would you rather Kilmarnie get out next weekend and give another test of it? Or do you think that break might suit them?
Do you know, I think they probably need it now at the minute. These fellas need to take stock. I wouldn't even go in and watch Ballyhiggin Causeway. I wouldn't even go in. What we've got to concentrate on now at the minute is look at ourselves. We've got to look inward now and see what's in our lads now. The torch has to be passed. Collins can't carry us anymore. Dougie can't carry us anymore. Tom Mernan has gone. We need new fellas to come through now. We need new heroes. We need new fellas to carry the torch and bring Kilmarnie on again, because we need this young generation to come in and know what it's like to play in a championship game and be ready for championship hurling, because it's a different animal. You know, yourself, Ivo, when you go in there to Tralee, there's no place to hide. And Causeway, to their eternal credit, I saw during the week when I saw the Causeway line, I was, oh no, could be in trouble here now, because they had Dan Goggin back, they had Gavin Dooley back, Bailey Lyons was flying again, Colin Harkley was flying, Carmo was back, Kerry, Jason Miggins was back. They look really powerful, Ivan, and that was, I knew we were going to be in a bit of trouble there.
Yeah, and I suppose for Kilmarnie, James and Richard, I'll come to you in a second. Sorry, I'm just constantly getting the Kilmarnie viewpoint on this one. And thanks to Damien Stack and the Kerry man. I'm just reading the piece in it here. Kilmarnie actually had more shots on goal than Causeway had. They had 52% accuracy, but on the other side, then Causeway 72%. For a man who said, don't go in and watch Causeway Ballyhiggin, there'll be video analysis fellas twisting what you say in that, James. But like, when you look at the stats like that, and I know a lot of people don't look at these sorts of things, but 52% conversion from having more shots isn't great from Kilmarnie, especially in a place they know so well in Ostertag Park.
There was, and you know, I mean, it was notable the last, on the very start of the game, because they were at the pitch of the game. We weren't, our hurling just looked a bit off. We were just very touchy, and you know, we weren't getting in the position to score. We sat very deep, Ivo. There was a time during the first half there when Jordan Mick got a ball underneath the terrace in front of us there, and his only option was Collins inside on his own, surrounded by three Causeway players. We can't do that. You've got to commit numbers. You know yourself, Ivan, one man up front is not going to work on his own. You've got to commit numbers into attack and get up and down the field, because it's nearly not, and use a football analogy, field. When you're defending, you're all back. When you're attacking, you've got to push on and you've got to take that chance. Risk and reward in hurling is huge. And you see with Cork and Limerick, they don't care. Barry Nash comes up from cornerback for Limerick. He gets a point. You've got to do that. You've got to be able to play at any part of the pitch. And Kilmarnie just took bad options with their shooting under pressure, and they were just poor decision making, really.
Yeah. Richard, I suppose from that silent point, James telling us that Kilmarnie were very, very poor. Were Causeway very, very good?
They were. And I think it's, you know, we have to take this into account as well. It's a bit like the Kerry Armagh game on Saturday. If you're looking at that, you'd be hard pushed to see if there was any weak links in that Kerry team. And it's the same with Causeway. I thought they were excellent yesterday. And the return, of course, of Mr. Goggin was very, very important. He was absolutely outstanding. Keith Carmody, Brandon Barrett. You know, from 1 to 15, they were outstanding. And they put in a massive, massive performance yesterday. So, look, you know, you can talk about Kilmarnie. You know, Kilmarnie, we have to be mindful, too, of the guys they're missing. They have a lot of injuries. The loss of Paddy yesterday was massive. We can't ignore that Paddy O'Connor. He was there on the sideline. You know, he was a massive loss as well. So what we have is we have a very good Causeway team. In previous years, Causeway had injuries. This year, they don't. They seem to have a fit panel. On the other hand, Kilmarnie are the guys who have the injuries. And they were down yesterday. I mean, Kilmarnie has tried hard. I mean, Daniel Collins, of course, ran. And ran and ran. He tried his very, very best. But at the end of the day, Causeway were excellent. So it's maybe a bit simplistic to just look at Kilmarnie, that they didn't play well yesterday. I think Causeway were very, very good. We have to take that into account as well. They were absolutely brilliant.
Does this give you a good insight of what Ballyhiggin will be facing this weekend, coming a stern test? But you just never know when teams haven't started their championship yet what they'll bring. And obviously three new teams starting into their championship campaigns next weekend as well, including your own Ballyhiggin, which started.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's going to be a great battle. 2 o'clock next Sunday, I think, is the time for that. And look, it's going to be a great battle. You know, we're down a few players as well in Ballyhiggin. And, you know, we're going to be up against it. But look, they're a young side and we're looking forward to a great battle. But I think that, you know, Causeway are really going well this year. The attitude is good. Yesterday we saw, for example, Brandon Barrett striking from the half-back line. Jason was excellent. The half-back line were totally on top. Keith, you know, it's very... And even the subs that came on, young Mark Murphy came on there and he really tore into Kilmoy as well. So there was no let-up. Whereas Kilmoy were really, really up against it. And they had the shots, but I suppose the double out of wides, but I suppose too, because the pressure that Cause were putting them under. So, yes, Kilmoy would be disappointed, but we have to be mindful of the Kilmoy team that we have at the moment. They'll be devil by injuries and we have to take that into account. And as I said, Causeway, they're really going well and it'll be a massive challenge for Ballyhigh next Sunday.
Absolutely. And if Ballyhigh weren't on the wrong end of that, we could have a Kilmoyle Ballyhigh Richard versus James shootout in the last game as well, which I'd really look forward to, not to wish any misfortune on Ballyhigh for the weekend. Just those fixtures for the weekend. Thanks again, lads. Friday night, Crotty against Abidorny at 7:30. Then you've got the double header. As you mentioned, Richard, 2 o'clock for the Group 2 clash Causeway Ballyhigh and 4 o'clock for Ballyduff against Leixonnais. So that'll be a real good double header next weekend as well in Ostenstack Park. James, before I let you go, a fantastic win for our Camogie team against Derry. We're back in an All-Ireland semi-final at intermediate level as well, 60 minutes away from a return to Croke Park for the final. Fantastic for the girls and delighted for John Madden and everyone associated with them there as well.
Yeah, you know, Richard will tell you like this, they don't give up. They don't, like, but they lost the last game. So no, when they lost their game,
we put Antrim, wasn't it?
The pressure issue again. But no, we can't doubt that they're doggedness and their fight. And do you know what? They're trying to develop their game as well. We've talked about this before about the Camogie team, real hard workers. But if they develop their skills, that's when they'll really see the best of this Kerry team. And just to mention on the Kerry Camogie as well, all our Camogie teams that went up the country at the weekend playing in the Field and Yale.
Yes.
I think my own club, Killahard, my own daughters were involved and won the Division 5 Shield.
Fantastic.
Come away with it. A little bit of silverware again. But it was, and you had Causeway as well in the Shield final. You had other Ballyduff teams as well. You had a great weekend of Fela as well. So the future is bright for Camogie, Iva, and I'm delighted to see it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. James and Richard, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and we might check in again next weekend after the next round of games, but thanks for this evening.
Okay,
there you go, James McCarthy, Mustard O'Farron there, chatting all things the Garry Sioux Valley County Senior Football Championship, of course, that got underway the weekend in Ostenstack Park. We'll be back after the break with the Kearns Rattleys lads, who is their book is about to be launched this week. We chatted to them last year as well in the build up when they were looking for information, and now it's finally here. We'll be chatting to them after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. If you're following along the soccer, there's what, 83 minutes gone. Argentina continuing to hold that 1-0 lead. So narrow enough. I have them in a goals competition, so that's a disaster for me. Thought they might put up a few more goals, but unfortunately they didn't. Now Kearns Rattleys have officially opened up their pre-orders for their highly anticipated definitive club history book, which we've been looking forward to hear for the last year as well. Delighted to have Pat Flavin, of course, one of the main instigators behind the book and gathering up all the information, and we've got Oliver Molloy, the chairman of Kearns Rattleys. Gents, you're very welcome. Pat, it's a pleasure to welcome you back.
Thanks.
And you know, we were just chatting off air there, it was about the year ago, give or take, that you were in kind of looking for information and everything else. I hope the appeal we put up that night helped you get a few bits in, but Trojan work got in and you're finally there.
Yeah, we're delighted, Ivan. I suppose we broke it down into chunks, so the bite-sized chunks at the beginning were just the media research, and we spent hours in Kerry Library going through the archives, the old Kerry Men and the various publications around then. So that brought us to about July. So we took a break in August and September, and we came back then, and that started the hunt for the photographs, the memorabilia, anything at all to do with the club, any nugget like that. So once we had that gathered, we had it all on the table, and we broke down then into the writers group of four. There was Paul Mullins, Padraig Griffin, Dan Welch and myself. So we started from there then, and blank canvas, and trying to pull it all together. Liam Hayes, as we said, was our editor, yeah, former Meath footballer. Liam was a tremendous help to us and helped us all along the way. Was very enthusiastic from day one about the project. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had, I always say we had our own Good Friday agreement. at the start of January, Liam said, you know, this needs to be done by Good Friday, by Easter if we can.
Yeah.
And I suppose it was just to focus us more.
Yeah,
than anything,
absolutely,
you know.
Yeah. A great way to pass the winter evenings, I'd imagine, inside in the clubhouse. Yeah. Right now. You don't have weather like this outside back in the difficult months. The thing that strikes me on the page really is 550 pages, yeah, and that is a substantial book. Yeah. So it just goes to show the amount of information that has come to you from Raz. I remember we were talking about hurling that night, we were talking about Camogie that night.
Yes.
There was so many different little nuggets of information that you wouldn't have known. So it just goes to show that that information was there and now it's finally in black and white.
Yeah, well, I suppose you're looking at 113 years. Of history. 1913, we can definitively say we played our first county championship game against Curra, the only time we've ever played them in the county senior championship. So we played Curra in 1913, and I suppose every decade was looked after that. The underage, the hurling in the club, the handball in the club, there was Camogie in the club in 1926.
Yeah,
you know, so it's to just gathering that info, and then obviously the photographs. Photographs are huge. We have 294 photographs in the book. We have 90 team photographs, and every one of those is named, which I think is a huge thing.
Like,
we went to a lot of lengths to get that, you know, and came across all sorts of names, nicknames like Bahi and the Baldies and, you know, Liang and Dykes. So it was a hard one to decipher those at the end.
Yeah, it's it is nice to know that it's done. And I mean, look, the end product is always having the book, but kind of that work that went into it, you must be very proud of kind of what you have to show for everything you've done over the last year now as well, because it's a tremendous task to get all that information in and compiled, and just go show that information was out there all along, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, look, really, it was to try and gather it all and pull it together, you know, and make a story out of it. Someone said to me, it was like a jigsaw puzzle, but you get a jigsaw puzzle like you have a picture on a box. We had no picture on any box.
Right.
You know? So we were looking at the good times, we looked at the bad times, we looked at where players came through, how they came through, you know, the key influencers in the club down through the years. I mean, you're not just talking about the John Dowlings and the Sean Walshes, like you're talking about the other people, say Francie Quill, Christy Griffin, these guys who spent night and day with the juveniles, you know, and making sure that there was a proper structure there when the juveniles came in. So like there was just tremendous time, and I suppose tremendous time put into it after, say, getting the research done, but talking to fellas, you know, and I mean, like, fellas' memories can be kind of funny at times, you know.
Yes,
we turned up one photograph where we had two stalwarts of the club to name the 15 in it, and they got to 14, and they were doubtful about the 15th and handed it to another fella who gave us a new name altogether.
So. That can happen too. Absolutely. Oliver, it must be a proud day for you, as was chairman of the club as well, seeing this kind of done, and as I said, now it's on the table, that it, you know, it's done and dust. You're looking forward to your launch now on Friday night as well. But nice that it kind of came in your tenure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There.
Look, I suppose way back when I came in as chairman, we knew that our centenary year was around now. Yeah. Now it was earlier than we thought at the time, but I suppose it was my idea to do the book to celebrate the centenary. Now, it's very easy to come up with the idea when you can pass it off to other people to do all the heavy lifting. But it's actually fantastic. It's fantastic achievement by the club and the backroom committee. It's a substantial book, way more substantial than we had envisaged. Mm-hmm. And I suppose along the way, what was enjoyable about the book was coming to our open days, where we invited people coming with photographs and any memorabilia. We were meeting people that some people didn't, that we didn't realise had a connection with the club. We might have known them around the town, from around the town, but they turned up because their uncle played with the club or their grandfather, you know. And that, I found that personally very enjoyable. So great achievement for the club, very exciting, and it's a great, it's great to give a tip of the hat to people who kept the club going through years that were maybe leaner than we can remember, you know.
Yeah.
So brilliant. We're looking forward to Friday night now for our launch. We have a big launch planned, where Dick Spring has been invited as a former player to speak. And we're looking forward to that. Everyone's welcome. So we want to put out the invitation to anyone that might be interested in getting the book. It'll be sold on the night. And yeah, we're looking forward to Friday night.
Yeah, that's on in the clubhouse, I presume.
On in our own clubhouse, yeah. On in our own clubhouse at 7:30, starting from 7:30 Friday evening.
Lovely. You have a fine facility there now on Strand Road as well, and catering with so many youngsters in the county. It's great to see, and football is alive and well, even after all those years.
That's it, yeah. After 113 years, yeah.
It is great to see. Pat, I suppose, finally to you, and you know that you're obviously, you've mentioned the other lads writing as well, and so many memories. Is there anything that really stands out to you in the book that, if I was to look at it now, you told me to skip to page 112. Is there anything that really kind of stood out to you, or maybe something you just didn't know about the club at all leading up to, that kind of really surprised you? Was there anything kind of really stands out for you in the book?
Yeah, I suppose in the history of the club, you know, you had various things. Like, you won your first county championship in 1932, and I mean, one of the people that was on that was the famous Paddy Kennedy. And Paddy Kennedy would have come into the club from Onascall because he was going to school in the Green. Like, he was 17 years of age in 1932, and he was playing, you know. And I suppose that time, like, that was a phenomenon at that stage, that a guy of that age could compete at that level.
Yeah.
You know, one other funny thing that we found, if you want to call it funny thing, was that All-Ireland minor medals for Kerry teams and were not available until 1949.
Right.
So, I mean, we have a guy on the committee, Peter Ronan, whose dad won minor championships in 31 and 32, but there was no All-Ireland medals. There was no All-Ireland medals available, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, various things without giving anything else away.
Of course, yeah, I was going to say, we won't give much more away.
Oh, there's one other thing I'd like to say, is that the highest individual scoring record in a Munster Championship game for Kerry is held by a Stranraer man. And we're not going to say who it is, but somebody can buy the book and they see that he scored 4 goals and 4 points in a Munster Championship game.
Wow.
You know, which is a huge achievement. And that was news to everybody, do you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oliver, very finally and quickly before we finish up, just for people who might be able to make Friday night, will they be able to pick up the book locally, or?
Absolutely, yeah. It's for sale online. We have an online portal where you can scan and purchase the book, and it'll be sent out to you. And actually, currently, before the launch, we have a large number of books sold already online.
Brilliant.
So if they go onto any of our medias there, our Facebook or Twitter or whatever, they can get the link there to buy it online.
And you're sending them out foreign as well for people listening
abroad.
Absolutely, hugely important as well. We have plenty of listeners across the water, as we heard a little earlier on as well. Lads, thanks very much. Continued success and best of luck on Friday evening with
thanks,
the launch.
Thanks
to everyone who helped with the programme tonight. And Niamh, who produced, Mary's up next, and we're back next Monday evening from 6 to 8 after the Kerry Tyrone game. Enjoy for now. Have a good week, and enjoy Mary's show coming up, as I said, after news at 8 o'clock.